First, let me express my thanks to Donnie about the weakness of the body. It's not that my body's weak, but the eyes are failing. This is my Bible from 30 years ago. And really, if I have nice glasses, I can read it. But it's so much easier just to have it magnified. Aren't you glad for the technology? Yeah. I've chosen to speak about Nehemiah. He is the worker that was involved in, really, instrumental in building the wall. I'm surprised when I was reading through chapter 1 that he was so shocked. I mean, what did he think was going on over there? I mean, you know, had he not heard anything before? But anyway, for whatever reason, it really touched his heart somehow this time, and he was praying about it and determined that something needed to be done. And who better to do it than the one that recognized it needed to be done? There was one of the directors here years ago, and I would mention something to him, and what about this? And he'd say, what are you going to do about that? And I'd say, what are you going to do about that? So guess what? It didn't take me very long to figure out if I mentioned something, I was going to have to do something about it. So when people would say things to me, what about this? What are you going to do about it? I mean, why is it always somebody else's responsibility to see that something gets done? It's our responsibility. Nehemiah was a guy, you know, he had a nice job, didn't he? Comfortable position over there in the king's court, serving wine right there in the presence of the king. Even the queen was there from time to time. He had the king's ear, and he was liked by the king. You can read that in chapter 2. Matter of fact, when he knew the condition of the wall and the hardship and the difficulties, it says his countenance was sad. And even the king recognized something's wrong with him. He said, what's the matter? He said, oh, I'm not sick. It's just concern for my homeland, the land of my fathers. It's in ruin. Something needs to be done. And wouldn't you know it, the king took it to heart. He said, well, take leave. When you're coming back. You never know what people are going to do when you bring to their attention the particular thing that you're concerned about. Now, we may think nobody's concerned. I mean, this was a heathen king, right? Jehovah God wasn't his God. Go and serve your God. Go and build those things. You never know what people are going to do till you say something to them about how they might help. Even if they're not a Christian, they may jump on board there and do a bunch of stuff. Anyway, in talking to the king, okay. Nehemiah said, well, could I have a letter? You know, could you give me some safe passage? Could you let me have some trees out of the forest, too? You know, they have to rebuild those gates, don't they? They had to have all that stuff. He didn't haul down there with a bunch of stuff on his back and big wagon train of stuff, but he had a letter. He could cut down trees. So the king got involved, sent him over there. And people were not happy. Those that were living in the land, those that had no right to it, those are kind of coming, going, as they will. It lists about, you know, four different nations of people there. They shouldn't have been there, but they were. They'd go in and out of the city anytime they wanted to. Why? There wasn't any wall to keep them out. You know, they didn't like that idea. You know, it started out that they had two men, then they had three men, then they had whole multitude that were opposed to this very action of building the wall. Well, if you read in chapter 3, you see the people there that were doing the building. Now, did something happen somehow that all of a sudden they acquired these skills overnight that they could be involved in the trades? No, but they had no reason. They had no focal point. They had no desire. They had no will to work. Last night I was having a little coffee with Bill, and I told him about Jeremiah. I'm going to say a few words about that. First words out of his mouth, they had a will to work. Is that us? Do we have a will to work? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, let's have that idea. Again, Nehemiah had a nice, comfortable job, but he left all of that, just as you've left whatever you left to be here. And you've chosen an area of work. It's going to be uphill all the way. Oh, there'll be some pleasant times. There'll be some serendipities along the way. But mostly you're going to meet opposition. You're going to meet opposition. And even some people that might be close to you might be those that would ridicule. I remember my mother-in-law saying, well, if that's the church, the Lord sure isn't blessing it. Well, we were in Port Clinton, Ohio. Little congregation there, about 30 people. Methodist church there, about 400. Now, if you look, here's 30 and here's 400. Which work is the Lord blessing? Well, from an earthly standpoint, obviously, you know, it's a Methodist church, got the best thing going. People see things differently, even those that might be close to you. I am thankful that in the years that we were in Canada, they finally moved there. And when they finally sat down and heard it, the message, it wasn't but a few weeks till they obeyed the gospel. Amen. Both of them in their 80s. So you never know. You never know. But ridicule is a harsh thing, and we can let it get us down. They start talking about this and this and this. Ridicule is a hard thing. Even you know, the things, oh, even if a fox jumped on it, it would fall down. Well, that was what they're saying about the work. What are they going to use to build that old, those old burnt-up bricks and stones and rubble? What are they going to build with? I mean, just all that hot mouth about what they were trying to do. Well, Nehemiah had a plan. God had a plan. They didn't give up. God, how about in your life? What kind of rubble are you working with? What kind of old burnt-up stuff you have to put up with? God can use whatever you have. But we have to have that willingness to work. We have to realize that people are going to ridicule what we try to do. But we need to be like Nehemiah. We need to have it our concern to be pleasing unto God. And if you know going in that it's going to be tough, if you know going in that people are going to be opposed to you, well, you're prepared. Anyway, Nehemiah was a man of prayer, and we need to be a man of prayer. When things came along, he prayed about it. I wish we had more of what he actually said. I wish we had more of the answer. We don't have that. He prayed and things happened, but what was God saying to him? How was it being indicated to him that he should do this and this and this? He just kept on. He didn't let any ridicule slow him down. We need to be the people of prayer. We all know the verse from Ephesians 3. God is able to do above and beyond all that you ask and think. How? By the power that works within you. What are you asking God to do? Are you even thinking about asking God to do anything? Are you even thinking of doing anything? I'm just trying to get through school. I know how that is. But really, what is your plan? Where are you looking? Well, ask God. And then be ready to work. I also like the verse in Ephesians, or Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. You know that verse, don't you? Be anxious for nothing. You ever felt anxious? I have. But be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. I want you to zero in your prayer, on the thanksgiving. See, when you start being thankful for how we've been blessed, and all the things that just were kind of, ooh, it just worked out. No, blessings from God. Be thankful for what's been happening in your life already. And as you begin to count those blessings and those things that God is answering your prayer in, guess what? If you pray tomorrow, what do you expect to happen? It'll be answered. And tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. But see, if we're not counting the blessings as we're wording our prayer, maybe we lose sight of how we're being blessed already. Well, think about that. Prayer, thanksgiving. And with faith, I like the thought that faith and fear never lived in the same heart. It's a good thought, isn't it? It's kind of like a dancing foot and a praying knee never grew on the same leg. You can use that sometime. But really, are we fully, truly, 100% dedicated and focused to what we're doing? Nehemiah didn't give up. It didn't matter what the people said. Didn't matter what little things that they brought about, ridicule. And the very next thing, there was force coming on. Very next thing, they're planning that we're going to do something about this. We're going to stop this work on the wall. And they began to hear things. They began to be rumors. They began to be, we're going to do this and this. We're going to come among you when you least suspect it. We're going to come at you from all sides and all angles, in the night, in the day, when you don't think we're there. We're going to be there. What did Nehemiah do? Prayed about it. He heard the rumors. Came to him 10 different times. Were the rumors persistent? Yeah. What did he do? Didn't do anything. Just kept on with the work. Kept right on building the wall. Kept right on encouraging the people because they were becoming discouraged, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be discouraged? If every day you came to work, somebody said, you go to work, I'm going to kill you. You go to work, I'm going to burn your house down. Now, there are places in the world where things are tough, difficult, horrid persecution. Right here in Denver, we don't have that problem. Oh, somebody may make fun of you, right? But really, we don't have any fear, really, I don't think here, of physical persecution. But discouragement comes from different places. Discouragement comes from the person next to you. Discouragement might come from somebody within the congregation you don't even know, and rumors start coming around about this and this and this. How would you have felt if you were in that group with Ananias and Sapphira? You know, the big gifts being taken up, and here, what do? Just make up a big lie. I gave such and such. Of course, it cost them their life, right? But there's things happening. What about if you were in the congregation there, all the widows started complaining? About what? You're not feeding me. I'm not getting enough food. I need this. You're not caring for me. Well, there's always going to be things. Well, they took care of that, of course, and you can read about that in Acts chapter, in the book of Acts. But don't get sidetracked. A lot of stuff out there to you know, why do the horses wear blinders? To keep them not seeing stuff over here, right? And jerking and, you know, getting off track. We need to be focused on what we're about. There's always going to be stuff, always going to be something, always going to be some reasons you can't do what you're supposed to do. Discouragement of those things that because of fear, because of lack of confidence, we maybe feel weak, lack of security. I don't know. You can read there in Nehemiah we're looking at, that had a thing going on there. When they were unified, they had less fear. When they were maintaining a focus of what they're trying to accomplish, they had less fear. When they had greater resolve and determination, they had less fear. But you need to maintain a balance in things, do you not? What if all they did was pray? We're going to be a bunch of monks. We're never going to leave the building. We're going to have little prayer cells. Well, I'm not saying prayer doesn't have power, but who's going to do the work if we're all praying? Somebody needs to be out there selling the soap, if you will. That was Roy Baker's expression. Somebody has to do the work. When the Civil War was going on all those years ago, I wasn't in that, by the way, but there were those on the front lines fighting, both sides, determined to win. Both sides had what was referred to as prayer warriors. Those were the women that stayed behind. Those were the ones praying for the war to be over. Those were the ones praying for victory. Both sides wanted victory. Both sides were dying. Maybe you need to have a prayer warrior on your side. Maybe you need to be the prayer warrior. But don't stop the work. Maybe we need to change focus. Now, Nehemiah kept right on working. He kept right on doing those things. He kept right on doing the building. All those rumors and things. He said, here's what we're going to do, guys. They're threatening to come at us to take our life. What we're going to do is we're going to be prepared. We're going to show them, give them a show of force. You know, military is good for that. You know, we tramp around all around the world and show them a show of force. It's not near as effective as it used to be because they got weapons just like we do. But nonetheless, they armed themselves. They were prepared to meet their enemy that they were seeing. Tool in one hand, spear in the other. Shield right here. I mean, if you're going to come attack me, I'm prepared. You know, there's never any indication they actually attack. Never any indication that all those forces, all that hot mouth about we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to come at all sides day and night. No. Once they saw the people were prepared to withstand battle and endure whatever hardship there was in order to accomplish the work of the Lord, in this case, building the wall, they didn't do anything. They had people down there in the, you know, even when the walls were half finished, they're down there behind the low parts, and they were down there with standing guard day and night, and they said, we didn't even take our clothes off there at the end of chapter 4. We didn't even take our clothes off. We're ready all the time. When we had to get a drink of water, we had our weapon with us. We were ready to meet the enemy. And we need to be that way. I'm not saying you need to go out and chop everybody's head off. Things change. But expect there to be problems in whatever you're doing. Expect that there are going to be those that ridicule your work. Those that try to, there'll be discouraging things that are being said. There are those that may even, in certain places, be involved with force. Do you ever think about why Peter had a sword? Whack! Off of that ear. Was he prepared to do battle for whatever reason? Now the Lord restored the ear, and we're not going to approach it that way. But still, they were ready for whatever happened. We need to be ready. We need to be the same kind of people that have the heart for prayer. Amen? Whatever we're involved in, pray about it. And let me encourage you, pray about it first. I mean, prayer is not an emergency tool. Something that's last resort. Prayer is the first resort. Makes sense? I think so. How do you know when God's answering your prayer? Well, only you would know that, wouldn't you? But what if you're not praying? What if you're not talking about it first? A lot of times people get involved in stuff and then try to pray to the Lord to bail him out. We don't want to do that. First, do the prayer. Be a people of prayer. And be those that are watchful. What's going on around you? Be aware of what's going on around you. You know, that you might take proper precautions about yourself. Well, we also need to be those that have an ear for hearing. I trust that if I were to call out to you, that you'd hear. That you'd hear. Some people don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. Now, I suppose it's possible. I'm over here on the other side of the building, and I'm saying, oh, maybe you don't hear me. But, folks, I'm over there, the trumpet. See, these guys had trumpets. When you hear the trumpet, you come. And when you hear my trumpet, you come to me. And we're going to work at this thing together. They're not going to come upon us and find us unprepared. We've got an army to deal with the enemy. Now, I may just be one person standing right here, but I feel I can call on several others to come to my defense if need be. Wouldn't you do that? If you're down here at Bear Valley Mall, somebody down there being attacked, somebody being jumped up and down on, would you go over there and do something? Oh, I'm not going to do with that. You'd come to their aid, wouldn't you? Of course you would. What about in our spiritual life and our spiritual work? Aren't we in this thing together? Aren't we working together in the cause of Christ? There shouldn't be any jealousies. There shouldn't be any competitions about who's the best. Not really. You know as well as I do, sometimes there can be. No. Be together. Be unified. Be listening how you might be able to help in a certain situation. Well, again, Nehemiah was a man that had God's purpose at heart. He was a man of God. He was concerned about the people of God. What about us? Can't we all be this kind of Nehemiah guy? Can't we all be one that can say, my greatest concern is for the glory of God. And if my greatest glory is for the concern of God, what do I have to do? Well, things that involve me in doing things that bring glory to God. We read in the Bible, and you see in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, that those things that were written before were written for our encouragement, that we might have perseverance and hope. I tell you, if you start feeling like you need to have some encouragement, read what happened in the old time. You may not get it from me, right? You may. But in the Old Testament, who wins? Who always wins, Donnie? God always wins. And if life continued for another 2,000 years, who's going to win? God's going to win. But along the way, there are going to be some problems. There are going to be some difficulties. There are going to be some hardships. There are going to be some things you have to put up with. But be the man of God. Be this kind of person. Be a person of prayer. Be involved. Help other people. Motivate other people. Do what you want them to do. Ask them to do things that you can't do. Be the kind of person that you read about in Nehemiah chapter 4. Man of prayer, an eye to watch, an ear to hear. In verse 21 it says, so. Big word, isn't it? So. They carried on the work. Let your work carry on.